Without further ado, I'm going to give you I Know Who Holds Tomorrow, Ayanna Gabriel's rendition. I don't worry about tomorrow. Just live from day to day. I don't borrow from his sunshine, for his skies may turn to gray. Many things about tomorrow. I just don't seem to understand, but I know who
Good evening and welcome. I'm Evangelist Yolanda McTeer. You are tuning in to hear my radio show titled Empowering for All, produced by Miss Nikki Rich. Praise God, tonight's show is going to be awesome. I am going to be interviewing Mr. Rick and Chris Strickland, the authors of the book titled Sessions of Faithful Men. It is sure to be a good show. If you haven't tuned in, go ahead and join us. We're here at Blog Talk Radio, 323-580-5749. For my web viewers, do log in at Blog Talk Radio under the Nikki Rich Show, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, and College Underground. It is a joyous time in the Lord, and we are going to start off this week for Thanksgiving. Praise God that we are all still here and going to be able to celebrate. We are in good health, our right minds, and just grateful for all the things God has done for us. Shout out to my first-time listeners. If you are just joining me, once again, I'm Evangelist Yolanda McTeer, born and raised in Akron, Ohio. Many of you have heard that state before. That is where the infamous LeBron James is from. As you can see, great things come from small places. Also tonight, my guests, Rick and Chris Strickland, are from Columbus, Ohio, another great package from a small town. We praise God. Here at Empowering for All, I'm here to build your faith, break down the walls of evilness, and empower you, not to judge you, but to encourage you, be a highlighter for Christ, and show you that if you stand, trust, be patient, and move forward, God will give you the victory and bless you. Now, once again, I'm not going to delay. I'm excited, I'm anxious, and I'm going to bring them on here momentarily, Rick and Chris Strickland. Once again, they are the authors of the book titled The Deep Confessions of Faithful Men. Rick and Chris were born in Columbus, Ohio. They are both married. Rick is married with 3 children. Chris is married with 2 children. Rick served in the military for 25 years. Shout out to you, Rick, for your patriotism and honor for your country. We love you for that. Chris attended one of the oldest Afro-American universities, Wilberforce University. It is there he obtained a degree in computer engineering. Praise God. Their book that they wrote for men will allow you, especially for women, to open your mind through the truth about men. I love this. The synopsis of the book is based on 2 of the biggest issues we face here in America, marriage and infidelity. People, if you could really know the deep-down secrets that men kept buried inside that only God, themselves, and a few close friends know about, what if you could really find out why men cheat? Women, that's something I definitely want to know. In this book, men are finally...
Clap your hands, everybody. Come on. If God's been faithful, then sing along with us. Everybody say faithful.
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 Faithful,
faithful is
faithful
our God.
Is our God.
Come on, all over the world.
Faithful.
Say faithful.
Faithful,
faithful,
faithful
is our God.
Is our God.
Come on, say faithful.
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 Faithful,
faithful,
faithful
is our God.
Is our God.
Yes, He is. Come on, say faithful.
Faithful.
Everybody, come on.
All right, I do apologize. Sometimes with electronics and telecommunications here at Blog Talk Radio, things go a little haywire. I don't know why that song started, but I apologize for that. I am back, Evangelist Yolanda McTeer. I was going over the synopsis of bringing you in touch with Rick and Chris Strickland's book. I had left off with, in this book, men are finally at liberty to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Women can finally get true confessions to questions they've always wanted to know. They learn not only to think like a man, but kind of lady that men cherish in long-term relationships. Now, I don't know about you, but that synopsis there alone intrigued me, has enticed me, and I am eager to hear their feedback on this and how they are reaching people with such a profound, great message. Without further ado, I'm going to bring on the line, first and foremost, Mr. Chris Strickland. Chris, you are live here at Empowering for All with Evangelist Yolanda McTeer. How are you this evening?
I am doing wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing good. Without further ado, to my listeners, now we are going to join Rick on the line with us. Rick Strickland, God bless you. This is Evangelist Yolanda McTeer. I brought you live here with your brother Chris. Thank you so much for being on my show.
Hey, same to you. Thank you.
Amen, amen. As you all could hear, I was reading the synopsis from your book. I'm excited. Once again, I'm intrigued, and I'm just overwhelmed to see that two men have come together and stood for God and bringing such an inspiration forth to the people. First and foremost, I commend you. I love the title, The Deep Confessions of Faithful Men. If you heard my show, you know sometimes I can get really deep in the Lord. So I love that. Thank God for
Amen.
You. Amen. As we're going to start speaking with you all, since I do have two times the empowerment here this evening, I will just reach out and say your name, and you just give me some feedback. How about that?
That works for me.
All right.
Okay. All right. Rick, I'm gonna go ahead and start with you. Coming together in the collaboration with your brother, share with the audience what inspired you all to go forth and write the book.
Okay, you know, as I look around at the world today, I start to realize that we have a big problem on our hand when it comes to the family. You know, I look at how the family has been destroyed by this beast or this monster called infidelity, which leads to divorce, and I see how it affects the kids, and as I started to think about that, I thought that there's got to be something that we can do about this. We are of God. We should affect the world and not the world us. So I feel that coming together with my brother, I felt that coming together with my brother, that this would be a good way of educating people or even raising awareness, because we know what's happening, but sometimes you don't know what's hitting you until it's right up on you, because that's the way this thing sneaks up on people. So the best way is to just increase the awareness and start to talk about it more instead of keep it locked up because things will make you become numb. You can see it so much. Like I can remember when the movies first start showing, the gory scenes and the things of all the murder and all that. And it used to be a shock to me, but over time it started to become less and less shocking. And it's the same when it comes down to the divorce rate in this country.
Yes, most definitely. Chris, I'm going to allow you to chime in and go ahead and give your input on how you felt as well, along with your brother, to come together and go ahead and write the book.
Yes. As my brother was saying, we live in a country where, the divorce rate is over or at or around 50%, which is one out of every two. One out of every two marriages ending in divorce. And for my brother and I, that number is alarming to us. And like he was saying, we become so numb to things because we see them or hear about them all the time. But we as believers, we as the body of Christ, this divorce rate is something that's going against the foundation of families. And so my brother and I, we began praying and seeking God on what can we do, as two vessels for you that can bring awareness to this, to the body of Christ, for one, and also to provide some valuable information that can help lower that rate, because one of the main things that's causing that rate to be so high is infidelity. And so we definitely want to bring awareness to it, and there was no better person for me to team up with than my brother. I mean, we share different things with one another all the time. We talk all the time. We talk about things that are deep within our hearts, and these things needed to be shared with other men, other couples, things of that nature. So we came together to do that. You know?
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Once again, we just thank God for you all standing on the collaboration, the unity, and the connection to go forth and write the book. And can I tell you, I stand in agreement and touch and agree. It's such a time as now, you know, speaking for myself, even being a single woman, finding that unity and that strongness and that connection to be with someone who not only has a love for God, but is willing to be faithful and stand with you and walk with you and not walk behind you and walk against you. Goodness.
Amen.
So praise God for you both. Rick, I'm going to move things back to you. I'm going to highlight on the synopsis question, and I'm going to let you give your answer for it. It says here in this book, men are finally at liberty to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Shed some insight on that for me, some insight on that.
Well, see, to me, telling the truth meant everything. Because we walk around with a lot of things bottled up inside of us, and in reality, we're not really being ourselves. It's like we're living a lie. Because, you know, there might be some things that come around. We start to struggle with things, and maybe it's, you know, at work or whatever, we're starting to slip up a little bit, and we shouldn't be. Starting to flirt on a job, those things that a lot of people in this world are thinking is okay to window shop. They use that term, as long as you don't touch or buy. But I disagree with that because, you know, what you feed into yourself could be very dangerous to your health and your family.
Yes.
So you have to be careful even with that.
Most definitely.
I thought it was important. So I really thought it was important to, you know, like we did in the book, and we opened up, and we told our truth, and everyone else that we interviewed told their truth, but they, well, of course, we weren't able to, you know, we had to keep their names and, you know, out of the book and all that, but they were willing to give us some stories of and some situations that happened to them throughout their course of the day and throughout their life up to this point.
Wow, and I'm telling you, that is, once again, such a profound realness that is going on in the world today. Men who have established great ground, great connection, great commitment to their wives are stepping out and going to the job, and we do have the Jezebels. I'm going to keep it real. This is what I do here at Empowering for All. We have the Jezebel spirits that are lurking. I'm talking about, and that flesh is everywhere. And it's totally enticing and going after and going after. And we are human. We are made of flesh. And sometimes the flesh gets weak. And before you know it, here comes conflict, division, problems, interruption, and corruption in the home.
That's right.
Well, look at what it does, though, to even the kids. I mean, I can remember the hardest day for me, the hardest day I ever faced in life was Father's Day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I never thought those words would hurt so much when I heard Father's Day, Happy Father's Day. You know, I experienced watching other kids displaying joy and excitement for for their fathers on Father's Day and everything, only to abandon myself to a state of depression. You know, it was very hard in elementary school when the teacher would have us, you know, making gifts for our fathers on Father's Day to give to our fathers. But every paint stroke hurt. I'm just saying, every paint stroke, every drop of glue stopped my heart. Because I knew that I'd never get that opportunity to give it to my father. You know? So these kind of things happen. I mean, they're going on today where kids are pretending, going through the motion and acting like they, you know, they have someone to give it to on that day just to, you know, just to show, hey, you know what, I have a father too. But really, in reality, the father's not there because of infidelity and divorce.
Very true. Very true. Now, Chris, I'm going to boomerang over to you. I want you to go ahead and give the audience insight and answer in the synopsis where it has here, what if you could really know the deep down secrets that men keep buried inside that only God, themselves, and a few close friends know about?
Okay, well, one of the things that we do as men is we try and protect the ones we love. It's in our nature, it's in our makeup as men to do so.
Yes.
And a lot of times in dealing with, you know, our wives or our girlfriend in some cases, we don't want to hurt the people that we love. So we tend to withhold a lot of things. We withhold a lot of things that we really want to say, but we believe if we say it, we're going to hurt their feelings. We're going to hurt them some kind of way. So we withhold it. And that withholding, it just gets buried in our heart, okay? And that's kind of how we came up with our title. These are the deep confessions, those things that we really and truly wanted to say, but we didn't have the courage to say them because we thought they would hurt someone. And so we bury those things, but then when we get around other men that we're close to, we reveal them to them. Or we go in prayer and maybe talk to God about it, but we don't share it with our spouse or our significant other, you know. And those things just get buried inside. And we found a way through this book to bring those things out and reveal them so that we can give that to women so that they can finally get answers to the things they've always wanted to know.
Wonderful. Now, let me ask you both this. Rick, I'm going to go back to you. Having three children, do you find a lot of times, because you know children only stay babies for a short period of time, and before you know it, you've got teenage years and you're going into adulthood. Time goes by rather quickly. Do you find it to be so much more of a challenge to not only pour into your children's lives, but having to pour double from when you let them go outside and what they're exposed to when they come home?
Yeah, of course, because, see, one of the things that I dealt with was the balance of keeping the intimacy between my wife and I when the child was younger, because the child demanded so much of the attention. But up from that point up, I was able to spend as much time as possible so I could be the influence. It's very important for not only the mother but the father to be the influence in the child's life before they're influenced, before they, you know, when they get out there. But there's so many things that they're up against out there. There's so many things that are going to sway their thinking. So it was very important for me to make sure that I was there. I was listening. I was not just that person screaming out orders. I was also that person that was listening to what they had to say.
Yes. And I think that is such an inspiration. I don't know if you all had a chance to tune in, but when you get a chance, please do so. Last Sunday's show, I went in and opened an old wound. A lot of times when you have to open a wound, it hurts. And I was talking about domestic violence. Was speaking on that, and it is so important because I was raised in a home that my father was very violent with my mother. I didn't really have connection. He was pretty much so absorbed in making money and I'm just going to take care of the bills, and that was it. Everything else was, you know, not attentive, not even dealt with. And then, you know, in the old saying, and I know you all can relate to this, Daddy was a rolling stone. Wherever he laid his hat was his home.
Right.
And you all can follow me on that with me not having to go into that whole scenario. So being a young woman seeing this and having to go out in the world, I left home at an early age. I just thank God that I was strong enough to be, you know, set to say, you know what, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And I think that, Rick, like you were sharing earlier, even on Father's Day, you know, my father and I, we're not close. I have reached out many years to reconnect, and sometimes you have to say to yourself and know that you've done what you're supposed to do and just let go and let God.
Right.
And it's so, you know, influential and happy for me to hear you all, you know, relaying this and how you relate to your wives and your children being fathers in the home. And I'm going to take it a step higher. It is very sad, and in such a day and time as now, that a lot of the Afro-American families don't have that connection. It's nothing we did. It's nothing that we didn't try and do. It's just not there. So our children, as they grow and get out in the real world, a lot of times those tendencies carry with them.
Right.
Because they don't know. And when you don't know, how can you implicate to your own family?
Right.
So I'm just so glad to hear, you know, the profoundness and the connection that you all continuously are sharing tonight that you have with your family and your children. Now, Chris, you have children as well. You have two daughters. You know, here I am speaking as a woman and, you know, raising daughters. Do you find it to be a little challenging sometimes from what they go out and see amongst their peers in the world, and they have so much access now, internet, social media, so many things that we probably didn't have when we were younger, which we didn't have. Let me correct that. I didn't have social media. I didn't have Facebook. I didn't have Twitter. I didn't have a laptop. I didn't have a cell phone. So there's so much more, even though you're pouring in to your children, that they can reach out and see different.
Yes, it is very, 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 very challenging. Like you said, with all of the especially with the social media. I mean, it just opens the door to so much they can see and experience and get into without your knowing about it, really. I mean, it's just so many different social media pathways for them to take, and you may not be, you know, up to speed on all of them, you know. So that creates a different kind of challenge in itself. But one of the things that I try to make sure that I do, and I've always done this, I always have had an open communication with my daughter. We communicate. They tell me things. I tell them things. I listen to them. I let them express themselves. But then I give them the correction. You know, I give them the instruction from the Word of God. You know, I constantly have to pour that into them. You know, because they're not in our presence all of the time. You know, and so we have to constantly pour God's way of thinking into them so that when they leave our presence, at least they'll have the option that if I do this, this is God's way, this is the world's way, this is what all of my friends are doing, but this is what God is saying to do. At least they'll have the option when they get out of our presence. So I try to just constantly pour into them God's way of doing things.
Amen, amen. And that's very important. And I'm sure you sit back as their father and you see how influential by you pouring into them is making the difference.
Yes, 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 yes.
And
amen.
And them coming home and being able to say, Dad, you know, let's talk, or if they discuss something with your wife and they may not feel comfortable, but they know that my dad is still going to be supportive. Because sometimes as a woman, it's nothing offensive toward you, but you are a man. And as a young woman, sometimes you just might feel a little comfortable talking to mom first.
Right.
But I know having friends growing up who had that type of home front, it does make a big difference. Even though they might relate to mom, they still know in the back, dad is still there supporting.
Right.
It means everything.
Amen.
It really does. Rick, I'm going to come back to you. Do share with the listeners. We are just flowing here. You know, anytime you get to fellowshipping in the Lord, time does go by, and we still got plenty of time left. But do share with the listeners where they can buy you all's book, The Deep Confessions of Faithful Men. Where is it available to buy?
Well, you can go to our website at www.deepconfessionsofmen.com, and you can purchase it right from there. I believe, Chris, make it clear, I think that's the only location right now, I believe.
Yes, that's okay. Correct. And we're selling it now for $9.99.
Okay.
So you can get your own paperback copy and enjoy it. Enjoy it.
Wonderful. Well, I'm going to stop here. We're going to take a brief break. I'm going to play Tamela Mann, Father, Can You Hear Me? And audience, we're going to come back and we're going to continue this wonderful interview that I am having this evening with the authors, Rick and Chris Strickland, The Deep Confessions of Faithful Men. We'll be back in a moment.
And we will be okay.
Praise God, and welcome back. You are listening to Tamela Mann, Father, Can You Hear Me?, one of my favorite songs. I am Evangelist Yolanda McTeer. You are tuning in to my radio show titled Empowering for All. Do continue to join me every Sunday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6:30 Central. On tonight's show are my guests, Rick and Chris Strickland. For those of you just tuning in, they are the authors of the book titled The Deep Confessions of Faithful Men. And can I tell you, we have been having an empowering, wonderful interview. It is so influential and good for me to have these two gentlemen on my show. I'm telling you, they are truly a blessing to God's community, and we thank God for them keeping their feet planted in God's kingdom. We're going to go back into the interview. Rick, I'm going to start with you coming back from the break. In the book, I know that you all did highlight that women can finally give, once again, true confessions to questions they've always wanted to know. Then you move on to say they learn not only to think like a man, but to be the kind of lady that men cherish in long-term relationships. And what can you give as an inspiration? And I kind of, maybe I'm correct, I felt where you all were going with that, keeping yourself as a woman in a woman's standard. Can you shed some light on that for me?
Yeah, see, you know, for me, I always believe that, you know, men are out there always looking. They're looking for that one female that's going to stop everything and mm-hmm. cause them to change directions. Because a lot of men are, you know, most of the time are not going in the direction that they should be going in initially. But mm-hmm. that one woman that they meet that will cause them to change their direction and want to get on that path to marriage. One thing that stood out to me during my studying about relationships was I was doing a study of this young man who said to me, he made a claim that he would never get married. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to know why. And as I started to watch him, he was dating a lot of women, but never could find that one woman. But what was happening, what was destroying his chances of ever getting married was the fact that he would tell me that he'd meet a nice Christian woman, and mm-hmm. his goal was to see if he could get her to mess up. Mm-hmm. And once he got her to mess up, he would tell me I'd never get married because he figured that standard of the best type of woman to marry. But once he ended up going to bed with this woman, he felt that the very thing that he loved, he hated. So he would never get himself in a situation. So it's like a cycle. He's out there searching, and mm-hmm. he finds what he feels would be the standard of the best type of woman to have, which is the Christ-like woman. Mm-hmm. And to him, he's not understanding that, you know, we all have flaws. We slip up every now and then. So because he only sees Christian perfection. Mm-hmm. So he sees this woman, and he thinks that it could be, and it ends up not being. So he labels all women as the same. So it keeps him from that standard. Now, on the other hand, you have that woman that says, no, I won't do it till I'm married, which is rare, and I understand that. But when it does happen, it allows that man to get to know her for her and not just for her body or for the things that we should not be doing anyway, you know, before marriage. But mm-hmm. the key, which happened in my marriage, is the woman that I'm married to now said, no, not until we get married. And that has made me stronger. Now 18, almost 19 years later, mm-hmm. I'm still here.
Praise God for the longevity in the marriage. Praise God for your woman taking a stand and saying, my virtueness as a woman created in the eye of God, I am the holy temple, and I will not defile my
Well, now you know that God works.
Yes, he does. Yes, he
does. He teaches us how marriage should be. And if you do it that way, you'll end up with a man that's going to be there for you.
Yes. And support you. Now, Chris, you know we're not going to leave you out on this one. I've got to chime in and get your input because this is wonderful. I mean, I'm telling you, in my spirit, and I walk in the spirit of God, I'm getting chills, and that lets me know that this is a profound connection in the spirit of God here. I'm loving this, loving it, being on the other side of hearing the grounding and the strength in you all as men. I love it. So, Chris, go ahead and share to the audience your insight on that same question, just like your brother Rick finished sharing with the listeners.
Okay. One of the things that we wanted to provide people who read our book, we wanted to provide them with honesty, because there's no way that a woman can become the type of woman that men cherish in long-term relationship if she's been being lied to through, you know, her past relationship. Okay?
Yes.
And so we wanted to give this honesty. Let me back up just a little bit and tell you one of the things that we did. We interviewed several women,
mm-hmm.
And we gave them the opportunity to ask us a question. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that question, it can be on anything they wanted to know about men, anything they wanted to know. And
mm-hmm.
And what we did was, I mean, those women, they really poured out their hearts into these questions. And we took those questions to men so that we could get the honesty that these women deserve. And, you know, of course, one of the things that we found was that men only open up with other men. And so
mm-hmm.
we were able to grab that honesty and capture that honesty and put it in this book so that now women can begin to see, you know, maybe that wasn't my fault why this relationship didn't work. I've been blaming myself all this time. And so they can begin to get answers to things that have happened in their past and previous relationships, why this man is the way he is, why this man was the way he was. So now with that honesty, they can now go into a relationship with a better understanding of men, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so with that, now they can begin to relate to men better and see that, okay, this is the type of woman that these men are looking for. You know, this is the type of woman that men really, really and truly would like to marry. Versus this is the type of woman that men just want to have a one-night stand with. But this is the kind of woman that men are looking for to go the distance with, you know. And we believe that is provided by women having honesty, you know.
Yeah.
Because that changes everything when you already have the answers to things. That changes your mindset when you already know how men really are. It changes your mindset going into a relationship.
It
does. And that's what we want to provide.
It does. It really does. Now, I'm telling you, Rick and Chris, I'm going to jump in now as an evangelist, and I'm going to ask you both a question for myself. I mean, you've got me escalated. I mean, you know, and it's real. I mean, because just because I'm an evangelist and God has taken me into my harvest season and walking into what he's called me to do, it doesn't separate me from interacting and going to the next level of connecting with my spouse. Who God
right,
has chosen
right,
to be.
Right,
I have to
right.
go through the steps and channels as well. And I think a lot of people misconstrue that because I still have to be human. I can't sit there and say, hi, honey,
that's
I'm
true.
An evangelist
that's
and
true.
Just look at
that's
him.
True.
You know, it's like, that's not going to happen. So let me ask you all
right.
this. As an evangelist and moving forward in my life as a woman and a little bit advanced in my years, I'm 44 and I'm very proud of it. I have no shame.
Mm-hmm.
I am single, no children. What advice would you give to a woman in ministry going forward? Because you know a lot of times as a man, how men, when they see a woman, it's just like, hey, it's me over here. And, you know, a lot of times I have to stay, and I do more like an interview. And when I say interview, I don't sit down and critique them, but I ask them questions with them not knowing why I'm asking, and that red flag goes off, and I say, no, I'm not going to be able to connect with you. You're a nice guy, but you're going to be better for somebody else.
Yeah, but see that? You see that? But that's God. That's God speaking to you, the Holy Spirit, because
yes.
He's not going to allow you to slip at the level that you are now. He wants you to make the right decision. He wants you to make that timely decision. And you know, God is always He's always on time.
Yes,
he's not on our time, but He's always on time. So,
yes.
I mean, to me, you find who you're looking for when you're not looking.
Uh-huh.
You just move on about your day and be that attractive black woman. You be about God's work. You just continue to do that, and you'll find yourself landing right where you need to be.
Amen. And that's actually, honestly, Rick, where I am. I'm so absorbed and so, planted in doing what God has called me to do. I work, full-time job as well, and I'm pouring into, the ministry and the radio show and just been trying to promote my book as well. You know, I'm a published author also. And I really,
okay.
when it comes to my relationships, I say it every day in my prayer. I said, God, you know who you've have for me, but in due season, when you connect me to him, I will accept him and understand that he's not perfect, and I ask God that you allow him to see, with me even being in ministry, that I'm not perfect. Am I saying the right
Amen.
Thing?
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm
not one of those judgmental women.
I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
But what's funny, What you don't realize is that the person has already noticed you.
Oh, come on now.
I'm being honest. It was like me. When I saw my wife, I had noticed her before she ever noticed me, and even knew I was even in the picture, because I was trying to figure out how I was going to make my approach. What would be the proper approach? So these things are going on while you're thinking nothing is happening.
And I say that because sometimes you know how you meet somebody and you're like, oh, didn't I see you before? But you really, it doesn't dawn on you. It's a different scenario.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. That's why I said, okay, come on now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a quote on our website from our book, and it holds true for men and it holds true for women. And that quote says, a man does not come to know what type of woman he needs until he comes to know what type of man he is. Okay.
Oh, I like that. Amen. Amen.
And you can really kind of flip it around and say the same thing is true for women. Okay. Mm-hmm. You have to know what type of woman you are in order to realize what type of man you really need, what
Amen.
Type of man fits with you, you know?
Yes.
And so one of the things that I always challenge people to do is to list at least five things that you know that you know that you know that you know that you
mm-hmm.
cannot deal with in a man or in a woman. okay? And some of those things may be from past relationships. You know you cannot deal with this type of person.
Amen.
Okay?
Yeah.
So that when you meet somebody and they, you know, begin to show one of those characteristics or whatever, you already know you can't deal with it. No matter what they look like to you, they might be the thing walking. But if they have any of those characteristics, you've already been there, done that. Run, you know?
Yeah.
Flee.
Yes. Amen.
But you
and
have
that's
to know what truth. Those things are. You have to evaluate yourself and know what those things are that you know that you cannot deal with. Or else you'll find yourself repeating the same thing over and over and over again.
Yes, and that's, you know what, and that's confirmation, because that is exactly where I am in my life. I have had those scenarios when I see the red flags and I say, once again, no, you're better for someone else. It's not going to work for me. I'm in a different place in my life, and I'm not going to waste valuable, precious time on some mess.
Right, right. Right.
Now, gentlemen, you all know any time that we fellowship and we get to going in God, time elapses and it continues to run and fly by. It's not winding down just yet, but we will be here in another actually about 7 minutes. So for those who may be just tuning in and listening to us speak to each other, can you go ahead and tell the audience where they can purchase your book titled The Deep Confessions of Faithful Men?
Yes, it can be purchased on our website, which is www.deepconfessionsofmen.com for $9.99, paperback copy. Get it. Let it change your output on men. Let it change your life. Let it encourage you. Get all the information you can from it. Pray on it and let the Holy Spirit illuminate it for you.
Amen. And I am just ecstatic, and I'm going to ask this, and I hope you all do accept. In the future, I would like for you all to come back on, and I want us to continue where we left off. Would that be okay?
Yes. We would love to. We would love to.
Yeah,
we enjoy
I'm telling you. Yes, this has been profound, informative. I'm receiving this, and I'm sure that my audience is as well. And it is so much needed in today's time. And it is such a blessing and a relaxation to know that two men who love God have come together and have reached out to help connection and relationship and to share insight once you are connected to your spouse of what it takes to stay connected. Because a lot of people look at, you know, every day is going to be a good day. And I know you all can share that as well. Even in the bad days, it's the connection and the love for God and knowing how to move forth from the bad days that keeps you together.
Yes. Amen.
Yeah.
Yes, and that is so important, because a lot of times people get caught up in the hoopla. Women want to wear the wedding dress. Men want to say, I'm inviting my boys. They're going to see me get married. But they forget when you go home, the hoopla is gone. Reality is here.
That's right. That's right.
That's true.
Yes, and for my listeners, Rick, once again, it is such a joy. How many years have you been married? Do share that again.
18 years.
Chris, how many years have you been married?
6 years.
Wonderful. And once again, audience, Rick has 3 beautiful children. He is married, and Chris is married also with two daughters, 2 children, and they are husbands and fathers, and they are empowering men going forward to be a platform for God of what it means to stand and be a man. I just thank God for you. Now, as we're winding down to the last 5 minutes, Rick, I'm going to let you go ahead and share with the audience whatever you feel led to share before we end tonight's program. And then, Chris, I'm going to come over and ask you to do the same thing. So, Rick, go ahead and take the stage.
What I wanted to share is just a little something, just a little bit of something in the book. One of the questions that a female or a lady asked was, why is sex so important to a man? Just wanted to know that. And, you know, I know we're on a Christian show, but it's still a part of our marriage, you know, intimacy.
Yes, it is.
One of the things you know, it says here is that for men, and I'm just kind of paraphrasing because I don't want to make it too long, you know, the desire, it would not sleep until it has achieved its goal. Men are basically in a situation that I call in the book, they go through what I call moments of stimulation. And they go through these things throughout the course of their day, you know. And it says our own desire gets built up or fed every time we go to the mall, the gym, the store. And this is someone talking, so we wanted to make sure that it was put in there. It had to be put in there because I had to understand what was leading to this infidelity. So he's not getting it at home. That's what he started with, if I didn't say it in the beginning. And then he goes to the mall, the gym, the beach, the store, whatever, he goes on his job, and these women are there, and they're attractive, and he's maybe going to lunch here and there with maybe one or two of them, and sometime, you know, one-on-one or whatever, and all along that those moments of stimulation are happening, and the pressure is building. And then he goes home and thinks that something's going to happen. And what he says is a lot of times it's not happening anymore. You know, you get busy with the hustle and bustle of life, and you start to, even with your involvement in church, sometimes you can get so involved in church that you start to not be involved with your relationship at home. Not to say to stop being involved in church, but you still have to pay attention to things going on in your household and your relationship with your spouse.
Yes.
So this is some of the things we work for God. We do a lot of things for God. Every time the door is open, we're in the church. And if your spouse has things going on in the church and you're part of the men's group and you have things going on in the church and they're happening at different times, then when do you actually spend time together? When you come back home, you have to tend to your children. Uh-huh. So by the time then you have work, you bring work home from work. So all along, the things that we should not be doing start to become a bigger desire. And there's a small spark that's causing a large fire. So the pressure continues to build, and it starts to get to the point where sooner or later you see another woman or man that you desire that will take you over that edge. What it says in James chapter 1 and 14, it says, but each one is tempted by a desire. He is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. So it can happen if you're not careful, if you're not, you might be doing things for God, but you're not feeding into your own relationship sometimes. You know, you're doing more for your work than you are for your relationship. And not just God, because you should continue to do things for God. We understand that, you know. But this is one of the things I highlighted in the book.
Praise God. And in the midst of that, and I'm sure you share in connection with Chris, time has elapsed, and we are actually running out of time. And I've got to say goodbye to the audience before they shut us off. Chris,
oh my God.
We know you share that connection with your brother as well because you wrote the book with him. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, we praise God for my guests tonight, Rick and Chris Strickland. I'm inviting them back because this is not over. This is just part one. I'm inviting them back for part two. They are the authors of the book titled The Deep Confessions of Faithful Men. Gentlemen, praise God for you. Thank you so much for joining me tonight as my guest here on my show, Empowering for All. I do hope you accept my invitation to come back so we can continue this on part two. Will you do that?
Yes, yes, definitely.
Praise God. As I say goodnight to my audience, please don't be strangers. For my first-time listeners, thank God for you. Growth is continuing, as you can see here at Empowering for All. Until next week, Evangelist Yolanda McTeer, saying goodnight. Okay, gentlemen, we're actually off the air, but we're good to go. And I see, Rick, you're still connected with me. I think Chris left.
Oh, Chris left. Okay. Well, I will see you next time. I appreciate you giving us the opportunity to come on and I'll tell you a little bit about the book. It's a very interesting book. I think whoever was listening will probably enjoy it. A lot of true stuff in there. Sometimes the stuff may hurt, but sometimes the truth hurts. But we wanted to get the reality out of what these men are really feeling inside and what they feel that they can do and what the female can do to strengthen the relationship.
Yes.
So that's one of the things you'll find, and hopefully we'll come back and see you next time.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I was hoping Chris stayed on, but I'll call. He'll call me, or I'll send him a message. If you all, I want to continue this. When is the earliest you all can come back on with me? Because I definitely want to do a part two. Because, you know, there's never enough time when you get into the elevation of God and pouring out. Time just evaporates. It feels like you have a lot of time.
Yeah, the time went fast, and it's so much meat to this. And,
It is.
Just to try to go step by step and try to get to the point where we can help people, you know,
yes,
especially make women to make decisions when they're, I see so many of the women choosing the wrong men, and I watch it every day on my job, you know, and I happen to work at a hospital, so I know, you know, there's nothing but women there, and
mm-hmm.
I got the guys that work for me, and they're chasing these women, and I'm giving the best to them, but, you know, they don't listen until it's too late half the time.
Yeah, and by that time they're telling you, Rick, you told me. But then it's like, well, you didn't listen. So maybe you can just pray and hope they don't make the same mistake again. That's kind of, you know, one of those scenarios. But you and your brother collaborate. I would love to have you all back to do part two as early as even next week. So collaborate with Chris. Have him contact me and let me know when we can do this, when we can do part two. I definitely want to.
Okay.
Let the audience hear more and, you know, answer some more questions and go forth with a powerful word here.
Okay. Okay, well, we'd like to do that. I'll get with him and stuff, you know, see if we can come up with a date. And we'll, if you can send me also.
Yes, like I said, let me know. If we can do it as early as next week, fine, but I know we're going into the holiday times. There's commitments and obligations. So collaborate and have him, you know, give me a feedback, and we'll go from there. God bless you once again, and thank you so much for coming on and being my guest.
You're welcome.
All right. Have a blessed week.
Right.
Bye-bye now.
You too. Bye.